Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers, to today's episode, where we'll embark on this journey for Emotional Wellness Month. We will celebrate the importance of emotional wellness. Active participation and commitment to nurturing and prioritizing your emotional wellness is crucial. This is your opportunity to take control of your emotional state, navigate emotional wellness, and uncover tools to help you thrive.
Tools. So important.
So let's get started and inspire each other to prioritize our emotional well-being.
I love this topic so much because emotional wellness is everything. Learning how to allow the feelings to come through and then allow the processing and seeing it through the whole way and coming through to the light at the other end of the tunnel or whatever the emotion is that you're working through, and learning how to roll with that, how to live, how to adjust, how to pivot. It's just a skill that is so important and so powerful, and I didn't learn it until 5 years ago.
But you learned it.
But I learned it.
The visual as you were talking that came to mind for me is like your emotions and your path to emotional wellness is kind of like the, when you take a step, what was it, the Michael Jackson video where he stepped on the thing and it lit up?
Oh, yeah.
Like it's the path. It's lighting you, either guiding you
as
to.
As you go. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. So when we run away from it, that's how we get stuck. But right. If we, okay, this is what I'm feeling. Then you go to the next step. This is because of blah, blah, blah. So that's
right.
What came to mind.
It's I love that.
It's an illuminated path when we follow our emotions.
I love that so much. One step at a time. Mm-hmm. Note what you're feeling. Note where you're feeling it in your body. How to be with that feeling.
Yeah.
Note if you need to stand on that block for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah. Okay. You guys know I love the research. I'm a lifelong student, so I love learning things. And I found 3 significant events that I wanted to highlight in the history of emotional wellness.
Awesome.
First event is in 400 BC.
What?
In reference to ancient Greek philosophy. Ancient Greek philosophy emphasized the importance of balancing mind, body, and spirit for overall health. Philosophers like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle explored the connection between emotions, rational thinking, and overall well-being.
Okay. That was 400 BC?
400 BC.
Oh, talking about being ahead of the curve.
These philosophers believed self-awareness, self-regulation, and resilience were crucial to achieving emotional wellness. These foundational ideas from ancient Greek philosophy continue to influence our understanding of emotional wellness and the importance of nurturing a healthy emotional state today.
Almost 2,500 years later.
So long.
And these things are integral to well-being, to true, full 360-degree health.
When you think about that, like that was 400 BC, they were having these conversations about what it means to be well.
Right.
Somewhere along the way, we got sidetracked from what total wellness and what wellness truly is.
Right. Just a little bit.
I blame the Industrial Revolution.
Uh-huh. I second that motion.
Yes. So like, they understood.
Like if we could have just followed that little line of thinking.
Second journey into emotional wellness history is in 1946.
That's a big gap.
There were other ones, but I was like, these are the ones that I want to talk about. In 1946.
But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if
right, there was nothing else in between.
Crickets. Crickets from 400 to 1946.
Not surprised at all, because people. Okay. All right. Okay. In 1946, the National Mental Health Act was pivotal in the United States. It marked a significant step toward addressing mental health needs and research. This act
led to the establishment of the National Institute of Mental Health, NIMH, and federal mental health research training and funding.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
That's when we were like, you know what? We should probably.
You know, I'm thinking we should maybe. let's have a panel for this.
Let's talk about it.
Let's have some kind of thing written down about this.
And it reminds me of when people talk about Freud and think that was the 1700s. These people lived in the 20th century.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was not that long ago. So there is a gap between 400 BC and 1946. Does not surprise me because we needed all of these psychoanalysts and thought leaders to really hone in on, like, okay, well, they're just philosophers.
They're philosophizing. Whatever,
like, about life and really, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Like, they're over here, up here, and it's not, not pertinent. So
the 1970s were a transformative period for mental health here in the United States, marked by significant societal change and upheaval. Can I get the Vietnam War, anybody? And then the veterans that came back from that? Can I get the Civil Rights Movement and recovering from that?
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things.
There was some turmoil. There was some trauma that needed to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. So that period led to a growing recognition of the importance of mental health and emotional well-being and a consequent increase in the popularity of counseling and therapy as effective tools for individuals to address and cope with these challenges. Mm. It took us 20-some years to be like, you know what, we're going to fund it and we're going to make some centers and research about it.
Yeah, we're going to have places for people to go to be able to talk to people
25
about
years.
This. We're a little slow on the draw.
My goodness. At least it didn't take, 400 BC to 1946. So we're a little bit quicker.
It wasn't like 2,000 years.
Right.
Or, 2100.
Ancient Greek philosophers setting the foundation for total wellness and the importance of emotional wellness, the National Mental Health Act, and then the growth of counseling in the 70s.
Yeah. Three important milestones for sure along the timeline that is, as you've done the research, and there's so many stops on the timeline, but those are three impactful.
Yeah.
What is emotional wellness?
Funny you should ask, Karen. Mm. I found this definition from the National Center for Emotional Wellness. They define emotional wellness as an awareness, understanding, and acceptance of our feelings and the ability to manage effectively through challenges and change.
I am going to add my definition of emotional wellness. There is an aspect of emotional wellness that is acknowledging or giving yourself permission because you are worthy of this healthy emotional state, giving yourself permission to know that how you feel does actually matter and it's going to affect every aspect of your life. So let's go ahead and do it well. Let's learn the process. Let's understand feelings, emotions, how it feels, why we react, all the gamut of feelings. There's the emotions wheel. You can get really down into the nitty-gritty and allowing yourself to feel it, which means we have to have support in place, right? But really acknowledging on a deep level, like a real connection, that you are worth it, that your selfness is worth it. Okay. I'm done.
I love that. Our emotions play a critical role in our lives. It affects how we think, how we feel, how we act, how we contribute, our ability to handle stress, our ability to celebrate accomplishments and joy, build and maintain relationships and make decisions. All of that comes back to your emotions.
Yeah, to your emotions and the value that you place on yourself to prioritize and understand your emotions because it is so far reaching, right? Your emotional wellness state, the effects are so far reaching.
Yeah. I think we get so caught up in emotional unwellness. Like we focus on, this person is diagnosed with insert whatever, that we forget that there's a flip side to
that. There's that proactive nurturing of self and nurturing of emotional depth and processing that is available.
Your emotions are not good or bad.
So true.
We are humans and we will feel emotions. Whether we deny them or whatever, there will be emotions.
Gonna be emotions.
So our emotions, because the focus is so much on when it's explosive or destructive, that we forget, like, why is it that way?
Mm.
It, right. Remember, our emotions are that pathway to whatever. So if you're reacting very strongly or poorly to said emotion, let's maybe stop on that square.
Yeah. And why do we perceive, as you said, emotions as good or bad?
They're
do we perceive it like, oh, this is a good one. I'm going to keep this one. This one makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to stuff this one down. No,
ignore it.
They're all messages. Mm-hmm. They're all telling you something. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For emotional wellness, I wanted us to explore three pillars. These pillars form the foundation or part of the foundation for our emotional well-being. The pillars are self-awareness, self-regulation, and resilience.
And they fit so nicely together. That just makes so much sense to me. The awareness into the how do I manage, into this is really hard, and knowing I have the tools and I'm going to come through this. I love that so much.
Yes. Self-awareness is an extremely powerful tool in decision making. It's hard to move forward without first having an awareness of something.
Mm. Right.
It refers to the ability to recognize and understand our emotions and those of others. How often are you in situations where you find yourself not necessarily passing judgment, but saying, if that were me, I would be X.
Right.
Instead of, let's put on our empathy hat and saying, well, I can understand why you would feel that way.
Mm.
So it's not just about being aware of our emotions, but those of other people as well.
Right. For so many of us, that's such a sticky place because it feels like it's a reflection on me when you feel that way, and it has nothing to do with you
at all.
Emotions are happening internally to the person for whom the emotions are happening. And you can witness it, support the processing, be there, but it's not about you. Right?
We make it about us so often. Yeah. I am also one
Oh,
that's you. I just put myself all in that.
You were telling me this thing about how you feel, and all of a sudden, I was thinking about how that affects me. Awareness.
Self-awareness requires us to be in tune with our feelings and understand how our feelings and reactions to those feelings can affect our thoughts and behaviors. Emotions aren't good or bad, but how you react, how you behave.
Reactions and the ensuing actions.
Yes.
That can be problematic.
Problematic.
If you're not aware.
When we have emotional self-awareness, we can make better decisions, have healthier relationships, and improve our overall well-being.
All of it.
Now, who don't want that?
It's the full Monty.
Like,
just do it.
Like,
just
you know
be
what? I just
want to
keep making poor decisions.
Like,
and I want horrible relationships.
That, right? Yeah. Nobody's saying that.
Okay. What about self-regulation?
Oh, whew, whew.
So we're just building. We're building.
So much I want to say about self-regulation. Because I couldn't do it for so long. And I still struggle.
She just out here emoting all over the place. Self-regulation involves being aware of and managing our emotions healthily and constructively.
Mm. Healthily and constructively.
Starting with that awareness.
As opposed to destructively and unhealthily.
Mm-hmm. We have the awareness and now we're like, oh, well, that's what that feeling is. And now we can manage.
Right. How do I manage this? How do I manage this emotion? How do I feel this emotion and process it without spewing it over everyone that I come in contact with?
That's just really not nice to everyone else.
And I'm telling you, cannot or don't understand or haven't been modeled self-regulation. It is really hard to learn on your own. It is really hard to understand like, oh, I can see that my not being able to handle or be at peace or process this emotion is totally wreaking havoc on you. And I think when we have kids, at least we have kids, we're like, oh, okay, I got to learn that.
I got to get myself
back. Yeah, I got to get it together.
Self-regulation allows us to respond to situations mm-hmm. with greater control mm-hmm. and adaptability rather than impulsively.
We're not saying you have to stuff down the emotion, mm-mm. but it's the responding thoughtfully to the emotion and not just blah.
Not just erupting. Don't be a volcano.
Emotional volcano.
Don't be an emotional volcano.
Don't be an Eevee. Was that a thing? It is now.
It is now.
Eevee's a Pokemon as well.
Oh, Eevee is a Pokemon. Okay. And then my brain was like, it's an electric vehicle.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, of course.
This pillar emphasizes the importance of recognizing and understanding our emotions and developing strategies to regulate and express them appropriately.
You mean I can learn how to self-regulate? I can learn how to express?
Karen said, if that behavior has not been modeled for you, it is extremely difficult to do it on your own.
You got to dig
in. You're going to be in a shadow land and not like it.
Shadow land. I love when you say that.
And the third pillar is resilience. So we have self-awareness. We are regulating our emotions. And then using those experiences to help us better navigate future scenarios. Resilience is a testament to the human spirit's ability to bounce back from adversity, trauma, and stress.
Yeah, that's what it is. The analogy for me is coming in the form of physical exercise. If we keep working that muscle, using the knowledge, awareness, and responsiveness versus reactiveness, then it's going to build up our resilience.
You know what? When people have the tools and they don't use them, they just be like, well, I could use a hammer, but I'd rather use the bottom of my boot instead.
About
it's not
that.
Made for that. You have the awareness. You have the tools and resources available to you. And I think part of that goes to our brains cling to what's familiar. It's hard to break it. Like the record plays and it's on that loop. It's very hard to change that reaction. And to your point, the resilience is using that over and over again to get better and better at it to hopefully then reset your record.
It takes concerted effort to reprogram, to rewire our computer brains. We have to really be paying attention. But that's how change happens. That's how change happens. That's how growth happens. Pay attention.
Resilience involves cultivating a mindset that promotes strength, adaptability, and the capacity to cope with life's challenges.
Nobody said the ride was free or easy.
I wish they would have, but then they would have been lying and I would have been mad.
And then these are here for you. These are opportunities to grow. These are opportunities to learn. These are opportunities to develop deeper relationships with yourself and others. There's richness in the human journey and in allowing these things to add to the compost of our soil. Yeah.
Building resilience in the context of emotional wellness is essential for maintaining mental and emotional stability and fostering overall well-being.
Yeah.
When my emotions are out of whack and a little bit too big, it affects my physical.
Yes.
It affects my social. It just spews over into all of the places when it gets too big. And it's like, well, we got to rein this in. Like, we got to figure out what to do to get it back in alignment.
What is the trigger? What's happening? What am I not paying attention to? What do I need in this moment
myself?
And honestly, when I have those big moments, I'm usually calling you. I'm like, Tara,
what's happening?
I'm having some big feelings and I feel really ungrounded. Can you talk with me?
I love being an anchor.
You're so good at it.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me all about it. What did I say to you this week? We're going to dial that back a little bit.
I laid it out there for you and you're like, okay, I hear you. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to dial that back a little bit and then let's talk about it. I was like, oh, great. Yeah. I knew you would be the voice of reason. So.
It's very good to have that balance in our relationships because if everybody is up here, like everybody's on 100, it is not a good time.
If there's ragers, everybody, it's all
It's
all
too much
the
and then there's a mess because it just went. Yeah. Very recently, you have been that for me as well. It's like, all right, I just need to get these things out of my, I wrote them down. I'm going to read them out loud.
Yeah. Boy, that's a powerful move too, isn't it? Though mm-hmm. we've both used that in the past, like 2 weeks, like writing it down, getting it out. But also, will you witness this for me and help me process it? That is the sign of a beautiful friendship.
It's been great. Mm. It's been very great because otherwise, I think I might be in jail.
Mm. Where's Tara?
In jail.
She's in jail.
On the way to prison. Oh. Okay. Orange is the new black.
You literally just made me cry with laughter. Oh my God.
Okay.
All right. Rein it in, sister. Holy good God. That was.
But lucky for me, I have a sister where I can talk to about these things. God. And even when it's big and it's messy, I can still find the comedy in the situation. You were like, I feel like I'm watching a comedian. And then I'm like, well, yeah, because they always say, like, I'm just talking about life. Like, these events actually happened.
This is the ridiculosity of life, of the journey sometimes. You're like, humans are ridiculous. Like, and these are the players on my stage right now. And it is comedic.
It is very comedic.
Like, I'm not even changing a word of the script.
I'm
like, this is
it
how
directly.
It happened. Oh my God.
Okay, we have our pillars. How do we actually nurture our emotional wellness? Pick any episode up until this point and probably one in the future after it, and you will hear our favorites. But I want to come up with a few different ones that we don't really use as often.
Mm, yeah, I love that.
The first one is get creative. Dive into a creative hobby. Painting, knitting, writing. Mm. Expressing yourself through art can be incredibly therapeutic.
Literally why they call it art and music therapy. It's a thing. Like, you are allowing your creativity to come forth.
Through.
I love that was the first
one. Another favorite is move your body. We do it every single time we record. I have a morning get up song, and sometimes I'm moving and dancing and just being as silly as I want to be. I will dance in the car at a stoplight if a really good song is on. Oh. I dance like everybody's watching, because they probably are. Usually dance like no, watch.
Yeah. Well,
get some of this joy.
You just slide some of that joy right off of me.
Get some of this joy. So
if I can make you smile because I'm dancing in my car, well, then all
dance
right.
Dance in the living room, dance in the kitchen, dance in the middle of your driveway, take a walk, try a new sport. Karen, keep talking about pickleball. And I...
Did you not keep talking about it? And also, do you know what I do on the trail? Sometimes I skip like I'm 8 years old, and I got to tell you, first of all, skipping is not easy. It's hard. Like, it's like plyometric exercise. It's hard, but it's also fun as hell. And I just make it a whole big thing.
Show you the family photo that we took probably 2 years ago. Our photographer had us all line up and told us to skip. Baby, when I tell you the whole family glitched out, all five of us. Onyx, the dog, he got it together. He was like, oh, we gonna go?
He's like, I can skip.
We'll show you the photo of how it started. And we were cracking up. Because it's like, wait, how we do that? Like, we had become so far from the playfulness. Like, you, when you were younger, like, you skipped to my loo, my darling. But the whole entire family in the field in November glitched out.
Like, wait, which leg?
How do we start? And then we were linked together. I'll show it. The entire family.
Which hand goes? Which arm goes?
The entire family glitched out. And it was hilarious. It turned into a beautiful photo. Maybe that's why she told us to do it, because she knew we were of the age where we going to glitch out.
Skipping. I couldn't imagine. We were like, wait, how do we... You're all trying to skip at the same time, and you lose it. When I started skipping a couple of years ago, I was like, ooh, this is fun. It feels a little, because I'm in a different adult body, and I've had a couple kids, and I'm like, how does this all move? But man, it is fun and liberating, just like dancing. That's all I wanted to say.
Like, I got to stretch first. There is preparation.
Girl, we are skipping out of this podcast today.
I don't know if you heard what I said just a moment ago. Another way to nurture our emotional wellness is to set boundaries and learn to say no when necessary.
This is so challenging for a lot of people. It is so challenging because we're on autopilot. We like to be people pleasers, and we like to be liked. We like everybody to like us, and we like to be like, look what I did. I do all these things. I have taken off my superhero cape and crown, and I'm just going to do what I can do. I'm very aware of what I either don't want to do or just don't have the bandwidth for. And please, my friends, fellow explorers, stop thinking you have to do it all for everyone, because you will blaze and out
a blaze fast of glory, and hard, and you like, do realize all of those people will continue to live their life when you up in flames.
They'll probably find somebody else to do it,
or figure it out themselves.
So just save yourself now.
When you were talking about people, I was like, I wish I could remember at what age I stopped.
Oh, it was probably real early for
it,
you.
It was just like,
you know what?
Mm-mm. And this, okay, I think I got it. A memory came back to me. It was before school, so 3 or 4, we were living.
What?
At, I ain't in charge of what y'all think.
Old soul. Oh, my God.
Right, that's why I birthed those, because we like, 400 BC, we were over there with Socrates. And
yeah, you were like, sitting down. Let's have some tea. We need to talk about this.
Yeah, and my grandfather, who was in the end stages of his life, asked me to do something. And I was already like, look, there's one too many things you don't ask for. And I said, in my little young 3-4-year-old body, I only have 2 hands and 2 feet.
Oh, my God. You did? To an elder, to a grown-up, to someone that you are supposed to be respectful of,
to
right?
To one of my favorite. I said it respectfully.
You did, yeah. But you're just like, listen.
We went too far.
That was a lot of things.
And I'm only this big.
I'm this big.
And I only got 2 hands and 2 feet.
Oh, my gosh. Use that one, explorers. Somebody comes out and be like, hey, can you do blah-bitty-blah for the teacher's luncheon? And be like, I only have 2 hands and 2 feet, and they are occupied at the moment.
That's 4-year-old Tara-isms for you. Oh, like that seems so foreign to me that I would care about blah, blah, blah. Granted, there were seasons where I did a little too much, and I was like, we all caped up Superwoman.
Yeah.
Then I was ablaze, and the world kept spinning.
There was the ashes, and I have to reinvent.
Phoenix tattoo.
Yep, exactly. You're like, I'm coming up.
But yeah, that's why I'm like, we weed it, and that's why.
Yeah.
I came this way.
You came that way. That's a great memory. Oh, I love that.
We should remember to set clear boundaries in our relationships, our work environments.
It just makes everything
just
cleaner,
everywhere,
right?
Just
right when you have boundaries and things are clear and you're transparent, you're living and acting with integrity. Mm. You've spoken your truth. This is what I can and cannot do. Then the people who are going to respect that are going to respect that and be in your life anyway. And the people who can't take it, well, then move along, right? Get on somebody else's train.
And like as you
get
were.
Get on somebody else's
right.
Train.
So part of setting clear boundaries, we have to first identify our own needs, values, and limits.
Self-awareness.
Let's start there. And then communicate them clearly to others. Ain't nothing worse than setting a boundary and then getting mad that somebody crossed that boundary, but you never told them it was a boundary.
You got to speak it. You got to speak it. You got to speak it. They're not mind readers. I hear men say this about women a lot. Like, we're not mind readers. You got to say it. You got to say what you want, what you need, what you expect so that I can see what I can do.
When you said mind readers, I realize that perception could exist when you are very aware of your own emotions, your own boundaries, and can quickly recognize them in others.
Mm.
It seems like you're a mind reader.
Mm.
But you just have that awareness.
Yeah, it's the awareness. Which does that mean that...
No. Look. Family be like, I wish I could they want to be Dr. Doolittle, and I was like, baby, I don't want to know what our dog is thinking because he's nuts without words.
Right.
There is no way. People are like, yeah, I wonder what this person was thinking. I was like, I don't even want to know what I'm thinking all the time.
Right.
So why would I then invite myself
into someone else's circus? Right?
My thoughts, I don't even want all of them.
Yeah, right.
I think I would willingly say that is not the superpower I don't want to be. What is it from X-Men, Professor? I don't want to hear all of that.
And no, you know what's funny is that energetically, a lot of times I do, and I have to consciously dial that down, turn that off, and just let someone else say or be or think or do whatever the things are, and then respond to that. Because sometimes before things are spoken or happen, energy precedes it.
Yes.
And so if you're sensitive to energy and you can sort of read that, it's a weird...
Yeah,
have to learn to manage that.
That's how I know sometimes somebody doesn't have to say a word and they're like, I don't like them. I'm like, well, I don't need to know them. I feel them. We not gonna match. So when we are setting our boundaries, we need to be assertive yet respectful. when communicating our boundaries and also consistently uphold them.
Holding the boundaries, yes.
What's good? You drawing this boundary in the sand, somebody just blow it over, the tide comes in,
and then you're
the
just
whole
like,
thing.
That's okay. It's okay.
Well, look at that. Enough. Mm-hmm. Enough.
Yeah. You just hold it.
Setting boundaries fosters healthier relationships and reduces sources of stress.
Oh, I can't tell you how many years, especially as a kid, things would just keep happening and be like, why? It's so stressful because I never said anything. Not that it necessarily would have been acknowledged, but still, it would have helped me to speak my truth and to say what was working and was not working for me in X, Y, Z
relationships. So how do we factor in our relationships and social support into nurturing our emotional well-being? It is important to build and maintain positive, supportive relationships with friends, family, and other members of your community.
You get that web set up. You get your circles, right? You get that all set up. It's like having that net under you when you're walking along the highway.
Ooh, the safety net.
Right?
That, your social network is your safety net.
That's social web set up.
As we are up there being trapeze artists.
Mm, exactly.
We're doing all of these flips and tumbles, and we have our safety net to fall back on.
It's really good to take risks emotionally and otherwise, and having that set of people holding space for you and literally holding you.
Yeah. These supportive relationships provide us with a sense of belonging, acceptance, and security, which helps reduce stress, anxiety, and feelings of loneliness. It's okay if other people outside of your safety net don't understand you. They don't know you.
Not everybody's going to know you, and not everybody's going to get you.
And that's okay.
And not everybody's going to like you. It's all right. It's not your
job. Who told y'all we needed to like everybody? Who said it?
It's good to be respectful.
Yes.
And to find common ground and to honor individuality. Well, we don't have to like everybody, and not everybody's going to like us. I'm okay with that.
Oh my God. Please don't like me.
You're like, please.
Please don't.
One
like
less
me.
Person for me to think about.
Please. Because once you in, now I got to be concerned. Like, we at capacity. Here, my boundary. No more. Don't like me.
What is that when you go into restaurants? Like, the fire hazard capacity. What is that?
Yeah. Called? The fire code. Like, maximum capacity of people. Like,
I'm at max. Yeah, I'm at max.
No more.
Capacity.
Social support provides us a buffer against the challenges. It provides comfort and encouragement and practical assistance during those difficult times.
I'm so grateful for my people.
A1 top tier, 5-star, unparalleled, second to none.
I love all of that. How many ways can we say the most amazing?
Amazing. Yeah. Our healthy relationships offer opportunities for meaningful connections, open communication, and the exchange of emotional support.
Mm. Exchange. Two-way. Mm. Mm-hmm.
As we invest in strong, healthy relationships, we are also nurturing our emotional wellness.
Isn't that just the most beautiful life cycle and circle you've ever heard? Like, emotional wellness and strong, healthy relationships, they just keep spiraling you up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about seeking support outside of your safety net and resources that may be available to you, because maybe you don't have that. Various counseling advice services available. There's the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, which provides information, support, and resources for individuals and families affected by mental illness.
They're a great organization.
Yes. Yeah. Psychology Today, which they have tons of articles about topic related to psychology that you could ever imagine.
I enjoy their websites.
I'm there all the time. So on Psychology Today, you can also find a therapist directory and connect with other mental health professionals in your area. Right. And then there's also BetterHelp and Talkspace, which are online platforms that offer therapy services with licensed professionals through messaging, video, and phone sessions.
And I love this because if I'm not mistaken, those are free services. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading recently about BetterHelp. And I'm just so glad that there's a universe of that right now, because not everybody has health benefits. Not everybody has the resources they need. And most people who are at a disadvantage in that way perhaps need it Maybe more. Someone. I think that's just such a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful space.
Explorers, I want to remind you that seeking support for your emotional well-being is an important step to your overall health. There are resources available to help you find the support you need.
Okay. Now, I know this is not time, but I am going to say that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It is actually a sign of strength. It's not you, and there is help. There are ways. And even if you work in an organization, there's employee assistance programs.
I just found out about all these free services EAPs, available to me.
Thing.
I was
wait,
I get that? Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I'm also still going to pay for my therapy.
But there's all these benefits.
All this available to you.
Ask.
And online and other reputable communities. Like, y'all, don't go everywhere. Make sure it's vetted and... Because you can't go all the places.
We all benefit from being healthy, emotionally well, supported, cared for, and balanced. Every person on this planet is waiting for you to be your best self so that we can all do this together, right? So we care. You matter. Your mindset and your wellness matters to me in a literal way.
Yeah.
A physical and energetic way. Helping yourself, asking for help, and leaning on people helps me. Thank you in advance.
Okay, so I just now I'm going to move my body.
All right. Oh, we got this song. I don't know how Tara found this one. We don't really know. Nobody really knows.
I don't really find them. They find me.
That feels about right. And also, what I love about the name of this band is because Mowgli is a character in
the Jungle Book,
the Jungle Book, yeah.
Ain't that the little boy?
No, Mowgli is...
Who is Mowgli? Is Mowgli not the little boy?
I thought Mowgli was one of the.
I think Mowgli the boy. Pause, please.
Okay.
Mowgli's did we say what the song was?
No, it's called "I'm Good" by the Mowglis. And Tara, I'm so glad you found this because we gonna bop now.
Mm-hmm.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
That was the perfect song.
I only listened to the first couple of seconds of that song. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that's so funny how it lyrically came around to what we were just saying, which is you being good makes it all good and better for everyone else.
I'm just trying to be the best me.
Take care of the home. Take care of your yard right there.
Sweep around your own front door is what people in the community used to say.
I love that. And then also there was the jive turkey.
I really want to use that. I don't know how I'm going to use it in a conversation, but I'm going to just start. Listen to your jive turkey.
Such a great way to start a conversation. That's a great way to set a boundary.
Yeah, listen to your jive turkey.
Okay.
That's good. Now that Karen and I have reaffirmed that we're good, today's question of the day.
Oh, yeah. Here it comes. And I don't know what it is. I just wanted to say that.
It's going to be good. You're going to love it. In what ways can self-compassion practices improve overall emotional wellness?
Well, I have an immediate answer.
See?
Because if you do not love and value yourself, if you cannot give yourself grace and be compassionate with the fact that you are a work in progress, right? And that you are in process and that you are in journey. If you cannot do that, then you are going to live a hard, hard existence. You have got to cut yourself some slack. You've got to give yourself a break. Self-love, it's all there is.
That's it. Cultivating self-compassion. We are quieting that negative self-talk, so the self-criticism, which increases our self-esteem. People who value themselves, who consider themselves worthy, treat others the same way. I firmly believe that I'm not better than anyone else, and at the same time, no one else is better than me.
Even playing field across the whole thing.
When we practice self-compassion, we are nurturing our internal dialogue and building our self-acceptance.
Oh, I love that. Nurturing our internal dialogue. Mm-hmm. Nurturing it, you know, being like, hey,
take it
talk,
easy.
Yeah, talk nicer to me.
I will not call myself a jive turkey.
Yes, I will. I will not.
Listen here, dear heart.
Exactly.
You're doing the best you can.
No, I love you. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Yeah.
We, you and I, can almost instantaneously recognize when someone is not that way.
Oh, it is palpable. Breaks my heart every time, too. And I'm just like, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like the way you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
You got to show yourself a little more love.
We also enhance our emotional resilience when we practice self-compassion. We are building a buffer against negative emotional states, which leads to greater emotional stability.
If you're feeling something and then you're beating yourself up about it, hold the phone. Isn't it enough to feel the thing? Then you got to get all up in your own grill,
right?
And be like, what's wrong with you? You're such an idiot.
Self-compassion strengthens our interpersonal relationships because we are facilitating empathy and understanding.
Right. If we can do it for ourselves, we can do it for them.
One would stand to reason that that's how it works.
All right. Those were good answers. I love that. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Here we are. We've made it to the end of this episode, and I found a quote. It came up.
Lisa, yeah, it found you.
It found me,
you.
And
that's,
I agreed.
Yeah.
Lisa Oliveira is a writer, therapist, and guide, sharing work around what it means to embrace our humanity and accept ourselves fully in order to live more whole, meaningful lives. Stole that straight from the bottom of her website.
I love it. I like that job title for me. I would like that job title.
I think that's just a people. Like, this is what people should do.
That's beautiful.
This is what we were here for. So Lisa Oliveira says, just because no one else can heal or do your inner work for you doesn't mean you can, should, or need to do it alone.
Boom. Mic drop. What? No one can do the work for you. But that doesn't mean you're alone. That doesn't mean you're isolated in it. You have resources. You have people.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is so beautiful. I'm going to use that later today.
So, explorers, as Emotional Wellness Month kicks off, we recognize that taking care of your emotions is an ongoing journey. But every small step makes a big difference.
Huge.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your friends and loved ones. Until next time, remember to prioritize your emotional wellness because you're worth it.
You are worth it. We love you so much. Take good care. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.